Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. Here at the House of Israel, located at 1907 Vine Street. I am Mori Isha Yisrael from the House of Israel, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in our internet audience, for we know that the only reason you've tuned in to us is because of your great fear towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yahweh? Well, Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the one that has ordained us to bring you the true and unadulterated word of Yahweh. And that's what we are coming to do. And today on Nothing But the Truth, we will discuss with you what you have on your mind. What is it that is on your mind? The questions that you have, the things that you need to know according to the word of Yahweh, so that you may be able to become closer to the Creator. What questions do you have that you would like to be answered? And you can send your questions by way of YouTube on our chat there on YouTube, our live chat on YouTube. You can send in your questions. You also can send them in through Facebook on our live chat. And you also can call us on Blog Talk Radio at area code 347-838-8963. And press the number 1, or you can shoot me a text message, and the number is 513-237-5911. Those are the ways you can send in your questions today. If you have any questions, and we will address your questions. Now, in the nation of Israel, there are many controversies, many discussions, and many disagreements on things that Hebrews discuss. Because there's a reason why there's so many differences of opinions among our nation. And that reason, you'll find the answer to that reason in the book of Jeremiah in the 16th chapter. And it states in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 12, it reads, "And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not listen to me." See, we got our own imaginations, and we walk after these things. You also find out why there's so many differences of opinions in Jeremiah the 17th chapter. The 9th verse, where it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Your heart is the thing that you're walking after, the imagination of your own heart, and your heart is deceitful. So your opinions are taking you in all kind of different directions. On top of having your own wicked imagination from your own wicked heart, we also are influenced by something else. In the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter, the 13th verse, it reads, "Therefore, Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man." Which means what? Not only has your own wicked imagination taken you to your own wicked opinion, but you also are taught by the precept of men. This is what you're bringing to the table. Another thing our people fail to realize when we get into these various discussions with one another about the word of Yah in the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6 reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your Elohim. I will also forget your children." Yah letting us know that only have we walked after the imagination of our own heart, and our heart is deceitful, and we've also learned how to fear Yah by the precept of men, we also rejected knowledge. What else? Now, there's more. In the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, you're going to see why we have so many disagreements. Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 1, reads, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yehudah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know. No, my people does not even consider." Yes, we have all these different opinions. We have all these various ways of seeing the scriptures, but we lack the realization. The reason that we have all these different opinions is because we're a sinful nation that does not consider our Elohim, does not even consider who we are, does not even consider that our heart is wicked and deceitful, and that we followed after the imagination of our own heart, and that we have learned our ways from the precepts of men. Not only that, we rejected knowledge, we lack knowledge, and not only that, but here is one of the most damning reasons we have all these different opinions. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. First, I'll read verse 15. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it states, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not listen unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Now, these are curses that will come upon us and overtake us because we disobeyed Yahweh. And the only reason we're here today is because we disobeyed Yahweh. And the only reason we don't have the wisdom that we want because we disobeyed Yahweh. But Yahweh said this about one of these curses in Deuteronomy 28 and 28, where it says, "Yahweh shall smite you." Who? Yahweh will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Means what? He said he's going to smite you with madness. And that word madness means you're crazy. That's right. Every Hebrew Israelite is crazy. Madness and blindness. That's right. Yah's servant is blind. Can't be. And astonishment of heart. That's right. We just dumbfounded. Our heart is dumbfounded. Yes, this is the state of your people. This was your state before the light shined upon you. And it still could be your state even if you say you know Yah. Because Yah said that these will be the curses that will overtake us. And now you bring all of this baggage that's coming with you, and there's even more. Let me show you another one, because there's a lot that goes into this. It's in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verse 9 says, "Stay yourselves in wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For Yahweh has poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered." You can't even see nothing. Not only that, you have the spirit of deep sleep. And this is what we bring to the table. A bunch of confusion. And that's why we even do this type of class. That's why we have questions in a period to ask questions on the Saturday. Because we know our people are coming from confusion. Any questions yet? And since we're coming from confusion, then we got to set the crooked things straight. But then, how do you know who has the right answer? How do you know who has used the proper methodology to teach you, thus saith Yah? Because you got questions and you're wondering about things and you're talking amongst yourselves and you keep on arguing with each other. And I've been there and I've seen it, been a part of it. But how do you know where the truth is at? Everybody got a different opinion. For instance, I'll present some things to you that go on in Israel where you got differences of opinion. For instance, there's a discussion that's been going on in Israel as long as I've known the law that the chicken is unclean. Some people say the chicken is unclean, and some people say the chicken is not unclean. I know this seems like a stupid argument, but as long as I've been in the knowledge, it's been a prevailing discussion. And for the life of me, I can't understand why. Unless I consider those scriptures that I just brought forward. Our people are confused, lack knowledge, reject knowledge, taught by the precepts of men. Don't know, don't consider. All these various things. Then I can understand why you would want to debate if you can eat chicken or not. And how do you know what Hebrews are allowed to eat? This is a very simple way to find out the word of the Most High. Now, we're in Isaiah 29. And in Isaiah 29, we read verse 9 and 10. But in verse 11, says, "And the vision," which is the revelation, "of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed." So you might go to somebody and say, "Hey, break this down." And they may not. Sealed knowledge. There are no prophets today. Then the book is delivered to him, verse 12, that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I am not learned. Then he said, well, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach you. Well, who do you go to? How do you find out the answer? How do you know the word of the Most High? Even in captivity, look in the book of Ezekiel, the 6th chapter. And in the 8th verse, it reads. No, let's start a little bit higher than that. Let's start at the 1st verse. And Yahweh, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of your master Yahweh. Thus saith the master Yahweh to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. And I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols. And I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Yet will I leave a remnant, that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when you shall be scattered through the countries. This is what he's leaving. And they shall escape of you, shall remember me according among the nations where they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whoring, which has departed from me, and with their eyes which go whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. Yahweh already let us know that among all the nations in which we have been scattered, he will leave a very, very, very small amount of people. That's what remnant is. Something very small that will remember Yahweh. And then they'll know the reasons to all the horror. They'll loathe themselves, which means they will feel bad, which means they will acknowledge Yahweh. Now you got that. And also you need to understand what else Yahweh has given us to find out, not just if you can eat chicken or not, but if you want to know the law. In the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter, verse 16 says, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. What does this mean? If you go and ask, or somebody asks you, or somebody indicts you, or charges you at the law to proclaim that you cannot do a certain thing, or you can do a certain thing, all you should do is seek out of the book of Yahweh and read. You also can go ask one of the remnant that remembers Yah. And then, finally, the best bet you have is to do what Yahweh Ben told us to do in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, it says in verse 14, "For these nations which you shall possess, listen to observers of times and to diviners. As for you, Yahweh, your Elohim, has not allowed you to do so." Which means what? Don't listen to these wizards and images that you call astrologers and astronomers and doctors and preachers. Yahweh, your Elohim, verse 15, will raise up unto you a prophet, which is a messenger, from the midst of you, and your brethren like unto me. Unto him you shall listen, according to all that you desired of Yahweh, your Elohim, in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, "Let me not hear the voice of Yahweh again, my Elohim, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not." And Yahweh said unto me, "They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall speak, to presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other Elohim, even that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How shall we know the word Yahweh has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks to the name of Yahweh, if the thing follows not, nor comes to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." So if you want to know what to do, all you got to do is go to one of Yah's messengers, and you'll know it's Yah's messenger because they'll speak the word of Yah. And the word of Yah is in this book. So, like I said, somebody gone around for years now teaching, and not just one person, this is teaching in the nation that I've been aware of for 15 years, and it was there before me. And what is that? They say you cannot eat chicken. Well, that's just false. Chicken is not an unclean fowl. And a simple way to destroy this is to look in the book of Leviticus, 11th chapter. Anybody that want to start bringing to you any other source other than the word of Yahweh has already disqualified themselves as being an authority on what is clean and unclean. I don't care if a chicken sucked blood through a straw. If Yahweh said that they are okay to eat, they're okay to eat. Some people tell you don't eat chicken because they scavenger and they eat everything. And I don't know about that. Maybe the ones that's being raised by McDonald's. But I've seen that chickens just eat herbs and grass like everyone else. Nevertheless, in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, it says here, in verse 13, "And these are they which you shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle." Now, is a chicken an eagle? No. "The ospridge. Is a chicken an ospridge? No. And if you don't believe me, just look up these animals. And the osprey. Is the chicken the osprey? No.
and the vulture. They'll try to tell you that the turkey is a vulture, but it's not. And neither is a chicken. Look it up. And kite, is that a chicken? No, it's not. After his kind, which means any kind of kite. After his kind. So a kite is a foundational species, and it might have different breeds of kite. It might be a pink kite. It might be a blue kite, but it's still a kite. It might be a African vulture or Asian vulture, but nevertheless, it's still a vulture. You see, after his kind. Every raven after his kind, every type of raven is unclean, which is not a chicken. And the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cuckoo. Somebody tried to tell me one time that the cuckoo was a chicken because a rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo. And if that's the logic people are using to just determine if the laws of Yahweh is telling you not to eat the chicken or not, I would be very worried about who's learning from somebody like that. Because a rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo, all of a sudden it's a cuckoo. And cuckoo and cock-a-doodle-doo are different sounds. Nevertheless, a cuckoo is not a chicken. And the hawk, after his kind, so neither is that a chicken. And the little owl, which is not a chicken. And the cormorant, which is not a chicken. And the great owl, which is not a chicken. And the swan, which is the foundational species of all ducks. You can't eat those. So anybody eating duck is eating something unclean. And the pelican, you know, pelican's definitely not a chicken. And the gear eagle, which also is not a chicken. And the stork and the heron after her kind, all non-chickens. And the lapwing, which is not a chicken. And the bat, which you already know, is not a chicken. Those aren't chickens at all. None of them. Then verse 20 says, all fowls that creep going on upon all four shall be an abomination to you. Now, you know a chicken don't even have four legs. So it can't be talking about chicken here. Yet these may you eat of every flying creeping thing that goes upon all four, which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them may you eat, the locust after his kind, the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle and after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. So you see, none of those are chickens or turkeys. Therefore, a chicken's not unclean. And you know what is just like a chicken? Quail. And who gave us quail? The Almighty did. But all you have to do is look in the Word of Yah to find that out. And we have a question.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What scriptures discuss what second wilderness we will be like based on the fact that the tribes are scattered? Oh, yeah.
Just repeat that question. What
scripture describes the second wilderness and what it would be like since all of the nations are scattered?
Gotcha. Good question. Go to the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 10 reads, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and they shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together to disperse the Judah from the four corners of the earth. And envy, the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Yehuda shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda, and Yehuda shall not distress Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them from the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. With his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and all this, and shall smite it in seven streams, and make men go over with dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So what this means is Yahweh is going to gather his people from all the other nations, and they're essentially going to come up to the Most High through this highway, like when we came up out of Egypt. And that is the only way the Most High can get, will gather us, is that he'll draw us all out of these nations. We're scattered, but that's why this makes this such a monumental and major event, because now Yah is going to bring Israel from all the places where we are scattered. It's exactly what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter. And I got a few text messages. Let's see if these are questions and or comments. Comment. Somebody mad that I talked about chicken. It's okay. Then we got a question. I'll read that question after I get to this scripture here. In Jeremiah 16, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that it shall not no more be said, Yahweh lives, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahweh lives, that brought the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave to their forefathers." So there's going to be a great deliverance. And then you can read in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Where it states, in verse 33, "As I live, saith Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, save the Master, Yahweh. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they dwell, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh." So Yahweh is going to bring us all out. And he's going to bring it into the wilderness. And he's going to do it on a worldwide scale. It'll just be bigger than the last time. Any other questions? Somebody made a comment saying they heard Israel's not in the Middle East. That's true. The Middle East is made up. Israel is in Northeast Africa, but it's known today as the Middle East. So any way you want to take that, it's over there in Northeast Africa. It's definitely not in South America, And it's definitely not in South Africa. No matter what the people would tell you, it's definitely not in America either. It is in exactly where we left it. Northeast continent of what you call Africa today. Also, let's see, someone asked me if there is a difference between pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Is there a difference between pride, arrogance, and haughtiness? The only difference between pride, arrogance, and haughtiness some of it, most of the time, it's the same thing. But let me just double check the word for you here. In Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verse 13, it reads, "The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." So what's the difference between pride and arrogancy? Well, pride comes from the root word ga'ah, which just means to be lifted up. But arrogancy or arrogance comes from the root word ga'ava, which means to be basically the same thing, a swelling. But one is, when it comes to pride and arrogancy, since he used them in the same sentence in two different words, one is what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, where he says in the, I believe that's the 16th verse, how much of Proverbs 6 and, is that 16? Let's see. I'm in Proverbs 16. I'm tripping. Proverbs 6 and 16 says, "These 6 things does Yahweh hate, yes, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look." And when you're prideful, not arrogant, when you're prideful, you look or your vision is haughty, lifted up. But arrogancy is your feeling, or you're feeling puffed out. You actually walk around puffed up. Your chest is puffed up. You're walking around with the big shoulders. So one is how you view. The other is how you actually look to people. Like, how do you actually look? So Yahweh hates how you view things, seeing like, oh, pride, and I'm above everything. And actually how you walk. You're walking. And when you're prideful and arrogant, it's because you're actually walking in the pride, and everybody can see it. Everybody can actually see your chest puffed up. They can see your head high. They can see you puffed out. But haughtiness is, from my understanding, the same word. But I'll check it to make sure. Yes, haughty is essentially the same thing, to be lofty. So you'll often see haughty used instead of pride. But arrogancy actually your actual walk. It's establishing your perspective. It's establishing what you think about yourself. And this is why you see it used twice in Proverbs 8 and 13. Any other questions? Question was asked, who is Esau today? And before we get to that question, somebody made a comment about chicken and how it is pumped with all kind of unclean, well, with hormones and all kind of stuff. And that is true. All your processed meats and even processed vegetables are pumped with defiled things. Chickens at the grocery store, for the most part, are GMO and filled with steroids and fillers, especially your nuggets. It's like meat glue, but not just chicken, your fish too. And not just fish, your beef. And not just beef, your lamb and your bison. And your vegetables are GMO also, and processed also, and preserved with a bunch of other disgusting things. Which means what? If you're not being circumspect to what you eat and how you eat, then you can even eat bad, even if you're eating lawful food. The best way to eat chicken is, of course, to raise it yourself. The best way to eat vegetables is, of course, to grow them yourself. But Yahweh let us know that we'll be in this polluted land. And many of our people eat polluted food no matter what. Then the question was asked, who is Esau today? And is a quest part two of who is Esau today? Oh, there's still people wondering about the land of Israel and why, because I made comment that said it's not in South America. Why do I believe it is not South America today? And then someone else asks, where is modern-day Egypt? Okay. Okay, what is the tongue of the Egyptian sea? Well, who is Esau today? Let me answer that first. Esau today, you'll find that in the book. Let me see, what's the best scripture? Malachi should sum it up for you. In the first chapter of Malachi, it says the burden, verse 1, of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. I love you, says Yahweh, yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says Yahweh, yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains to waste and his heritage to waste for the dragons in the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Now what nation you know that has said we need to go to the land and build the desolate places? Well, that's those so-called Jewish folks. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, and they are building, but I will throw down. And this is the only nation on earth that is being perpetually bombed and in perpetual war since they've settled themselves in this place. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever. This is Esau, the so-called Jewish man. If you don't understand from that, let me show you the book of Ezekiel, the 35th chapter. Verse 10 says, Because you have said these two nations and these two countries shall be mine. Who does that? That's the so-called Jewish man. They want the land that they was already given, but they also want our land. Shall be mine, and we will possess it. Whereas Yahweh was there, therefore, as I live, saith Yahweh, I will do even according to your anger and according to your envy, which you have used out of your mouth, out of your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them, and I will have, when I have judged you. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, and I heard all your blasphemies, which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given to us to consume. This is what Esau said. And who says this? The so-called Jewish man today. And then, as you see, they try to take our land, but then they also attempted to take our name away by giving it to themselves. And you can see in the book of Psalms 83, where it says in verse 3, it says, they have taken crafty counsel against your people and have consulted against your hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes. And these Edomites are the so-called Jewish man that have done everything in their power to cut us off. This is all Jewish man. That's who Esau is today. No, Esau is not the white man. I know they teach that. I know they teach that. That every white person is Esau. That's not true. Not true at all. The Europeans that rule this land are not Edomites. They're from the tribes of Japhet. They're not Edomites. No matter what they tell you. Then they said, what? How do we know that the land of Israel is not in?
Why do you believe it's not in South America?
Why do we believe it is not in South America? And where's the modern day Egyptian Sea? And what is the tongue of the seven stream coming out of the Egyptian Sea? Well, how do we know it's not South America? I know they said, why do we believe that? But I'm going to tell you why I know that. I know that because, first off, if it was South America, then you would be able to find our land there. And then, what did I just read? How Esau wants to take our land. There's no Edomites and nobody else fighting over our land in South America. Peru, to be exact, because that's where they think it is. And look at the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, I'll start reading in the 6th verse. It says, prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and the valleys, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield fruit to my people Israel. For they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you. You shall be tilled and sown. Which means what? Not tilled and sown now. Right now, the heathen are in our land. It also says earlier in the same chapter, start at the first verse. It says, also, you son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Master Yahweh, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession to the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of the talkers and are the infamy of the people. Therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith the Master Yahweh to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers and to the valleys and to the desolate wastes and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are around about you. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, surely the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which is Edom, which have appointed my land into their possession with joy of all their heart, despiteful minds, to cast it out for prey. They don't do this in Peru or Brazil or Argentina or Colombia. These lands are not being taken over by the heathen roundabout, trying to just make it theirs, claim it for themselves, ruling over it, and conquering it the way that these heathens have. They went in there one time, killed off a few of the natives, and left. That's why the natives are still there in South America, mixed with some of the Europeans. That's not our land. It's not described as our land. It's in the west and not the east, which is a dead giveaway because our land is in the east. So that's not our land. Where is modern Egypt today? Oh, where's the modern day Egyptian Sea? It's the same place where the ancient Egyptian Sea was, in Egypt. That would be what you would call the Red Sea, the sea that borders Egypt. I think that's the Red Sea that borders Egypt, the same sea we crossed when we came out of the land of Egypt. It hasn't changed. And it's the same place where the seven streams will be made in the seven streams, as it said in Isaiah the 11th chapter. What it said in Isaiah the 11th chapter, in verse 15, and Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, with his mighty wind shall he shake hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams to make men go over dry shod. So the Egyptian river and the Egyptian sea is the same place that it was before in Egypt. The Nile River, the Red Sea, those are all surrounding Egypt. It's no different. Any other questions? What is the difference between the beginning of 400 years and the ending of the 400-year prophecy? Well, the beginning, I can take that two different ways, and I'll answer them both ways just to not be confused. The beginning, of course, of the 400-year prophecy was when we arrived in America. But the beginning of the 400-year prophecy is now. Yet we teach that the beginning of the 400th year is now. So what does that mean? It means, essentially, if you read the book of Exodus, 12th chapter, in verse 40, it says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the very same day it came to pass, that all the host of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. What this means, when Yahweh uses the words the end of the 430 years, he's letting you know that it was completed. 430 was complete. So though we came here in 1619, that's when it began. So we weren't here a whole year when we got here. We just got here. August 20th, 1619, which means the end of the 400th year, which is right now, will be August 20th, 2020. That means the 400 years over, and it's going to be 401. That's the end. So we don't go from the beginning of the year. No, we go to the end. Just like it says in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter. Verse 22 says, or verse 21. It says, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate to keep Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, which is 70 years. So it had to be fulfilled, meaning it had to end. All of that year had to be completed. So this is how the Most High counts in completion. Any other questions? No other questions at this time. And what I was discussing was about these questions, about these controversies that we had. I had brought up chicken, and I brought up chicken because, you know, I keep on hearing in the nation, chicken's unclean. And chicken's not unclean. But there's other things that our people are debating over, way more major than chicken. Even though the children of Israel love chicken. Of course, the reason that this chicken debate came up is because of Popeye's chicken sandwich. Who cares about Popeye's chicken sandwich? Apparently a lot of people care about Popeye's chicken sandwich. And if you want to think, oh, chicken's unclean, you want to find a reason to not eat Popeye's chicken. It's not because chicken is unclean. Popeye's is unclean. You eat at Popeye's, you're eating pig grease, pork fat, lard. That's what you're eating. They fry food in lard. So I don't care if you're eating. And they put pig in mashed potatoes, and they gravy, and their green beans. It's pig all through it. So I don't know what you're getting from Popeyes. They unclean. The chicken sandwiches that y'all run into get to eat was unclean before you even thought about it. It's chicken unclean. Fried in pig grease. But our people also have a very difficult time coming together about Yahweh's times. That's a major discussion. Today we just answered the question about the 400 years. But the same formula goes for any other question. You want to know the answer, all you got to do is go to one of Yah's messengers, and they should teach you from the word of Yah. They shouldn't just give you an answer and say, it's because I know it. No, there's words that Yahweh has already put out here that establish or disprove. And a lot of people today are under the impression that they know what time it is, and they don't. They're confused on that. But that's the debate. What is the time we're in? And I just told you that we're at the end of the 400-year prophecy, but we're at the beginning of the 400th year. But how do you even know how to count time? Well, the same way you know how to count time or understand time is the same way you get any other vision from the Most High. Instead of debating, is the time right? We should be asking Yahweh what time it is. So when someone comes to you and presents to you that this is the time of Yahweh and when he is set to deliver us, the response shouldn't be, nah, that's not it. But the reason that is because of what I said in the beginning. Our people are confused, led astray, smited with madness and blindness, reject knowledge, learn their ways from the precepts of man. We're not following Yahweh. We have a lot of confusion. So when it's question on when is the time, first we got to know how can we decipher or understand the times according to Yahweh. In the book of Ecclesiastes, any questions? Let me know. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the first verse, it reads, everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This is the law of the Most High. To everything, there is a season, which means there's a scheduled set time for it. And a time to every purpose. That means everything, every purpose has a time. So we got to know this time. What's the question? Do people in the scriptures speak in tongues? No. And yes. No, they don't speak in the tongues that are taught in the Christian church. But, I mean, when you speak, you're using tongues. They're different languages. So you got to understand the difference between tongues or what they call tongues. Okay. Who are the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all right? And let me show you. Go to the book of Mark. St. Mark, this New Testament. I'll show you why the children of Israel do not speak in tongues. Mark, the 16th chapter, the 16th verse reads, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. So first off, this doctrine, this statement, does not apply to the children of Israel. This is the statement of an idol, the statement of a false god, the statement of a false doctrine. It says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's false because Yahweh said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Call upon Yahweh and be saved. Follow Yah's laws and be saved. He never said, believe and get baptized. Then this man goes on to say in verse 17, and these are the signs that shall follow them that believe in my name. Whose name? The name of Christ, which Yahweh never told you to believe on. It says, in my name shall they cast out devils. Now, all these Christian ministers, they can't cast out not a one devil. When the devil is a false god at best, that's what it is, and they hold up the idol, which is a devil, to cast out a devil. That's complete foolishness. They can't do that. They're not doing nothing. They're playing the game, parlor tricks. They're not casting out any devils. Exorcisms are fake. They shall speak with new tongues. So if you're speaking in tongues in your church, then you're trying to show that you have the sign of the baptism. Israel, don't worry about the sign of a baptism, the sign of believing in JC, or the sign of anything in the New Testament. We only concern ourselves with the signs that Yahweh gave us. And I'll show you those signs. And that's in the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter. Exodus 31, verse 12 reads, "And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you." So we keep the Sabbath as a sign. And also, look at Genesis. The 17th chapter. Verse 10 reads, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign or a token of the covenant between me and you." So we don't worry about the signs that follow believing in Christ, because we do not believe in the Christ of the New Testament. We do not teach the Christ of the New Testament. We do not follow the Christ of the New Testament. We do not worship the Christ of the New Testament. Therefore, we do not speak in tongues, because that is a sign that follows those that believe and are baptized and do speak in tongues. Nobody knows what they're saying, and Paul even told you himself that it does not edify anything, so he doesn't know why you're doing it. But no, we don't speak in tongues. Then the question. That's the question. When will David be revealed? Soon. That's all I can tell you. You want scripture for that? Is in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Another question was, who are the inhabitants of Jerusalem? We are. We are Jerusalem. Children of Yehuda and Israel are the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, it states, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now, this is talking about a prophet. "And the master whom you seek," meaning like the king, the lord, the master, the real, the regent, which is a king, "the master whom you seek shall suddenly come to his place," or temple. Whose place? The messenger's place. "Even the messenger of the covenant." And who's the messenger of the covenant? That's David. There's an old covenant named after him, the sure mercies of David. "Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, save Yahweh of hosts." So David's coming soon. Because why? Because the messenger that prepared the way before Yahweh has already came. Who was that? That was Moreh Elisha Yisrael. Yes, he prepared the way for the Most High. He tore down these false religions. He brought and ushered in the light for Yahweh's people. That's what his duty and his work was. He prepared that way. And I'll even show you this scripture in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, to show you that David will be here soon. What day? I don't know what day. I can't even tell you what month. But it will be soon. In Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, the 7th verse says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." In the time of Jacob's trouble, he's going to be saved out of it. It's a great time. It's a time like none other. And it says in verse 8, "For it shall come to pass in that day." What day? What time? "The time of Jacob's trouble, that Yahweh of hosts," says Yahweh of hosts, "that I will break his yoke from off your neck. You'll be freed, and I will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." Meaning we won't be slaves anymore. "But they shall serve Yahweh, the Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." Meaning what? Meaning David is coming soon, because the time of our freedom is at hand. Any other questions? Prayer of needs, N-E-E-D-S, to be done. Prayer of needs is, I'm not sure about that phrase, so let me not directly comment on that phrase, because that could mean something different. Prayer of needs, unless you're asking, like, should we pray for the things we need? If you're asking, shall we pray for the things we need on the Sabbath day? Then yes, you should pray for the things we need on the Sabbath day all the time. But see, when I look up the prayer of need, that looks like something that comes from Islam. And if that's the question, should you do a prayer of need from Islam? Then of course not. Because Islam is a false religion. But if you're asking, should we pray for things we need, you should do that on the Sabbath day and every day. Like, we need Yahweh. We need life from Yahweh. We need Yahweh's mercy. We need Yahweh's help. We need Yahweh's revelations. We need Yahweh's message. We need the food Yahweh provides. We need Yahweh. So you should pray for that. But when I look up the phrase, a prayer of need or needs, it seems to come from some Islamic tradition, and we do not follow Islam at all. No other questions? Well, we have about 5 minutes left before we close. So if you have any last questions, make sure you send them in before we conclude. But as I was stating, it's very important that when you seek the word of Yahweh, you seek it out of the book of Yah. And if you seek the word of Yah from one of his messengers, make sure they're coming from the book of Yah. Too much confusion, too much distractions that have led our people astray. And our people are arguing and debating over the foolish things. Can you eat chicken? Is this the 400 years or not? These things should not even be an argument. But if we follow the law. What does the law say? In the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. Deuteronomy 17, verse 8. "If there arises a matter too hard for you, and judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, between matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and get you up to the place where Yahweh your Elohim has chosen. And you shall come to the priest and the Levite and to the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall show you the sentence of judgment, which means they shall teach you from the word of Yah. And that's how you really settle all your discussions, all your debates. Just go to the man of Elohim. And if they're a true servant of Yah, the matter will be set straight from the word of Yahweh. We don't have to argue with one another. We can just keep this law and praise Yahweh. Until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Praise Yah, 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 Yedaiah, 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 praise Yah, 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 yeah. Praise Yah, praise Yah. Why does this have to be earned? A curse will come upon you with his words you won't affirm. Praise Yah, praise Yah. Created day and the night. Don't go the left or the right. Call Yah Sabbath for the light. Praise Yah, praise Yah. With all your voices you must sing. They got the Elohim. Next to him there's no king. Praise Yah, praise Yah. The mighty Yah has the flaws. And all of my companions, those who fear and keep his laws. Praise Yah, praise the Most High Yah, who saved the soul of this dead man. Show me who I am, give me the chance to see that good land. No blessings bundle, you fumble, you crumble. A light to the nation, the mothers. Life goes to meek and the humble. Ain't seen to surround me just like a cummerbund. No need to boast or whip my tongue. Know where my blessings from the Most High Yahweh. His laws I keep inside me. It's sweetness to my soul. You hate them, your heads are rolled. In the midst of the wilderness, just scorned as they would cease to prosper. To them, y'all shoot like a lion to a lion prophet. My last saga's like a Tyson mixed with Customaga. Knock out Christ Muhammad and give my holy Yah his honor. My Abba Father, Yah, my college and my alma mater. To keep this phase going, I cannot go down in silence. To follow after men so they don't vote for. Praise the mighty Yah, he give you something to vote for. Praise Yah. Righteousness have to be earned. A curse will come upon you with his word you won't confirm. Praise Yah. Create day and the night, don't go the left or the right. Call God Sabbath for the week. Praise Yah. With all your voices, you must sing. That you are Elohim. Next to him, there is no king. Praise Yah. The mighty Yah has the flaws. And all of my companions, those who fear and keep his laws. Praise Yah. I love Yah because he heard my voice and supplication. Inclined his ear into me and severed us from other nations. Walked in the midst of death, wicked what the chance is given. That's why I praise the mighty Yah as long as I'm living. My ways of Yah, I will show that all my works were worthless. Walked in the statues of my Yah, cause all his ways are perfect. Adored, sweet as honey, so you have to love it. Not bread alone, but every word, that's how we govern. Seven covenants you bless, if you know the name of. Circumcision comes the first, is what he gave to Abram. Second, Yeshurun fell into some bad habits. That's what you are, forsake the almighty Sabbath. Don't take for granted that it's written in the Ten Commandments. You must love it to be inside this new covenant. No expiration of the kingdom of his servant David. Yahweh is forever hollow, covenant day and night. Follow. Righteousness has to be earned. A curse will come upon you with his words you won't confirm. Praise Yah. Created day and the night. Don't go the left or the right. Call Yah Sabbath for the light.